I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We are just about an hour away from the airing of the grievances, brought to you by Q39, yes. Friday is here. I'm not sure I could go another hour. Like, I'm right kind of at the brink.
Well, you have to go another hour.
Of screaming at random people. It's just been a week. You know that, Sam. These are long weeks.
Do you mean on top of this hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can go one more hour on top of this, and then, like, there is a bottle of wine calling my name.
Little Naomi.
Probably the whole thing.
Whoa!
I mean, it's just felt like it's been a week. It's been a very, very long week, and I'm just thankful that we can head into the weekend. You know, we've got the Chiefs and the Royals coming up on Monday, which, by the way, if you miss the meme of the mic drop of the Kansas City Royals, it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Did you not see this?
I did not. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. I love it when teams just, like thumb each other. Do you know what I mean? So let me go back and find it. I don't want to get anything wrong because it is that funny. So the photo is an empty crown chair. Does that make sense? What is it? Like
a throne?
Like a throne.
Yeah.
Thank you. It is a throne.
I did see this.
Oh my gosh. And apparently the Dingalings with the, was it Baltimore? Thought
yes.
It would be a good idea to post a picture of the empty throne and like poke fun of the Royals. And so the Baltimore Orioles tweets the photo of the throne and it just says the show's about to begin. This seat's taken. And there's a throne with royal blue velvet.
Yeah, it looks cushion. Like a picture that the Royals would have put out as a, hey,
yes,
come and watch the playoffs.
And it says, seats taken
right
from the Orioles. The Royals reply with Bobby Witt Jr. superimposed sitting in that throne,
right,
seated on the throne. They X out seats taken and they write in like handwriting, series taken.
That's a sweep.
With this caption, you come from the crown, you best not miss. Hashtag hey, hey, hey. It is so fabulous.
Somebody else pointed out, and I saw this on social media as well, that 2024, the year that Kansas City kicked Baltimore out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Because we did it to the Ravens and now the Orioles.
Amen. Amen. Very exciting news for 2025.
Real quick, game one of the ALDS is tomorrow on 96.5 The Fan.
Wait, game one's tomorrow?
Game one is tomorrow.
What time?
I believe it's a 6:08 first pitch, but if I am wrong, please don't hold me to
the stake. What is tomorrow? Saturday.
Yes.
We have plans tomorrow night. We're going to Starlight, but they are showing the game up on the Jumbotrons during the gala.
Now Dan's telling me I'm wrong.
It's definitely in the PM, Dan, because I'm going to the Starlight Gala tomorrow night, and it's definitely, we're showing the game.
Game one is tomorrow. The first pitch is at 5:38, so
yep.
I was 30 minutes off.
That's right.
Game two is Monday night at the same time as the Saints take on the Chiefs.
Okay.
That first pitch is 6:38. So they will start that game 40 minutes before the kickoff, Saints versus the Chiefs.
Oh, my gosh. Sunday's what time again, Sam? Sorry.
So tomorrow is Saturday, 5:38 p.m.
Got you.
And then Monday night, 6:38.
Got it. I got you.
That's game two. Game three is on Wednesday.
There's a lot going on here, people.
Big things happening.
All right. Big things happening in 2025. I already told you Teddy Swims is coming to Starlight, one of my favorite places, one of my favorite artists. I will be front and center for that. And then we get this from Channel 9. Did you see that the Savannah Bananas have announced their 2025 schedule? They're coming back.
Oh, my God.
And I am horrified to say, a couple of years ago, a very good friend of mine said, hey, what are you doing? The Savannah Bananas are in town. And I was like, I think I've got something going on. Like, I'm not saying I blew it off. I just did not understand the joy I didn't understand.
Well, and just how popular they are. I mean, we've heard about the Globetrotters for decades, and, you know, there was a time where they were the hottest ticket in town.
Oh, my God. They dance. They sing. Yeah. It's like, is it double A? I don't even know what it is. Dan, have you been to one of these games?
It is independent baseball.
I cannot believe
I
turned down tickets to this the last time they were here.
The Savannah Bananas are fantastic. They put on a great show. And it's fun. I saw them down in Florida a few months ago, and it was fun.
Did you laugh out loud?
Oh, yeah. There's just a lot of hijinks, and it's wonderful. There's a lot of dancing. There's some baseball. There's now, just all kinds of stuff.
Last time they were here, they played out by the Legends,
it was
right?
The Legends. Yes, I remember.
That sold out in like 4.3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next year, they're playing Kauffman.
Ooh.
Of course they are.
So I think it's probably still going to sell out,
yeah. But it'll be a little bit easier than it was to get seats down the street from here. It literally says in the release, want to see the wildest, most exciting sport ever played on a baseball diamond? You've come to the right place. Savannah Bananas. They will be here. Do I really want to give the date out? I will. Kansas City's Kauffman Stadium, May 23rd and 24th, following a stop in St. Louis at Busch Stadium in April. May 23rd and 24th, mark your calendars.
Oh my gosh, from the text line, I know we love these random connection things, especially with Taylor Swift and the number 13.
Oh yeah.
Tomorrow, the Royals game against the Yankees starts at 17:38. The last time that we were in the playoffs as the Royals and went on to win the World Series, the number one song, rap song, that year was by an artist named Fetty Wap,
okay,
who was known for saying 1738.
Okay.
Wow.
We still need to
show
up and play.
Right there.
We still need to show up and play, but I am so excited. So yeah, Teddy Swim, Savannah Bananas, mark it down. What a great time to be alive in Kansas City. All right, I'm going to ask both Dan and Sam this question before we get to our sweet topic at 4 o'clock. What is the most valuable thing, not monetarily valuable, but meaningful to you that you have ever lost? And what would you give to get that thing back?
Pride.
Really, Sam? You're in timeout. Dan? I told you it's been a long week. You are in timeout.
I'm trying to remember, and apparently if I lost it, I can't remember if I lost it.
There's
so I guess
nothing
it wasn't
that,
that
you lost. Like, I lost a ring that my great aunt gave to me. I just went off to KU, and it was somewhere in all of this stuff moving back and forth. I just don't know what happened to it. It's long gone. I would have loved to have had that to pass down to my daughters.
Stuff that I have that I wanted to keep, I know it's important. I'm not sure exactly where it is, so I guess it's lost in the pile.
I lost a newspaper clipping, an aerial of the ship that brought all of the World War II soldiers back.
Wow.
This enormous ship, and there was an arrow pointed to it from one of my uncles that said, Dad would have been right about here on this ship coming back from the war. I borrowed it. It was in my house.
And then used it for a fire.
I just don't know what happened to it until my uncle one day, like a year later, said, hey, do you still have those newspapers? And I went, yeah, I do. Let me look. I wouldn't have thrown something like that out, but I know I have them.
So, hey, it's in the shadow box right next to the Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl winning.
Yeah, that wasn't the shadow box. It was in the bottom of the fireplace, Sam. I'm going to read this post from Ashlyn. I think it's Brian Gar. And if I'm mispronouncing that, I am so sorry. But this caught my eye the other night because a listener passed it on to me. This sweet little blonde, and she is wearing a sweatshirt that says Ottawa University Baseball. And the number 24 is on the baseball in the middle of the logo. Ottawa University Baseball. It looks like a sweatshirt you'd find anywhere, okay? And here is her post. Update, October 3rd. The reward for my dad's sweatshirt to be returned to me is now $1,000. She writes, thank you so incredibly much to everyone who has shared so far. I don't have any viable leads as of right now, but please keep sharing. I have to believe this will reach the right person. Here it goes again, she writes. It's been 7 months since I left this sweatshirt at Free State Brewing in Lawrence, and it has still not been returned to me. Here is what I know. It was picked up by a man at Free State shortly after I left who put on the sweatshirt and wore it out. At the time, she was offering a $500 reward for the sweatshirt to be returned to me. She says, I promise you, to anyone else, it isn't worth $5. I was hesitant to make this post, as when I did previously, I received some really not nice comments and messages. But I received much more support, and I don't want to give up. It makes me sick thinking I won't ever have this piece of my dad back. Ottawa University alum and another woman both graciously sent me remakes, but I need the one that belonged to my dad. If you know anything or if you have it, please return it, no questions asked. Thank you to everyone, she writes, who previously shared my original post, and to everyone who still asks, have you found it? The date it was taken, by the way, was March 2nd at Free State Brewery in Lawrence. And I wrote, I shared this on Facebook, let's do this, come on, who has it? And there are some theories. I don't know why someone would walk into Free State Brewery, see a sweatshirt there, put it on, and walk out.
Right. Unless, you know, it was an evening of festivities. Maybe it was chilly that evening and that particular person didn't. It was March 2nd. I don't know what the temperature was on March 2nd. Maybe they didn't show up with a jacket and they thought, you know, I'm going to need a jacket on the way out. And they saw this lone jacket sitting there. I don't think they stole this jacket intentionally.
I don't think they took it, obviously, knowing that this meant so much to this child.
And I'm sure that they, if they've seen this post, don't even know that they have it.
Is it possible that this was someone, maybe Sam, who's unhoused? And because of that, probably isn't trolling social media looking for the sweatshirt that they didn't realize they took that meant so much to this child.
I would love some more detail about the man who put it on and left. Because obviously she knows this because she went back and asked Free State and Free State pulled the security footage and sent her the footage saying, hey, you know, we're trying to help you out. We're doing the best that we can. This is all we've got.
The reward is $1,000. My guess is her father played baseball for Ottawa University, and he played, and he was number 24.
By the way, March 2nd was a Saturday night.
Okay.
So it would have been a party night.
913-586-7798. Only Free State Brewery on Mass Street, Sam, is not a party destination. The people who go to dinner at Free State, by and large, some families, it's alumni. And it's people over the age of 60 that like craft beer.
Are there a lot of homeless people that wander through Free State?
Sam, I don't know, but it doesn't make sense that someone would just walk in, put on this girl's sweatshirt, and walk out. 913-586-7798. And if you lost something, like a sweatshirt, that you would pay $1,000 to get back, I'm trying to help her. The story just broke my heart and warmed my heart at the same time. 913-586-7798. We'll take your call straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome on back. So I'm asking you, what have you lost that you would give just about anything to find? Because sweet Ashlyn, and I've reached out to her to see if she could join us, lost a sweatshirt belonging to her late father. She knows where she was, generally, the date, the time, and it was Free State in Lawrence.
Well, she knows where she left the hoodie because based on the fact that she knows that somebody came in and picked up and walked out with it, and not hoodie, sorry, it's a crew neck sweatshirt, she knows for a fact that she left it at Free State.
The reward, by the way, is $1,000 for a sweatshirt that would not mean anything to anyone else. What have you lost that you would pay almost anything to have back? Let's go to Bob in Overland Park. Hey, Bob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
So a number of years ago, back in the early 2000s, I wrote a novel, and I had put it on. I had written it at work. My boss was cool with me doing it. Mm-hmm. I actually ended up getting my computer after I left there. They allowed me to take the computer. Well, I had to take the computer back because it needed to be wiped and everything. So I transferred my manuscript to a external hard drive.
Yeah.
And when I got my computer back and plugged the hard drive in, it was no longer working.
Oh, no.
So the copy that I had printed my manuscript, 112,000 words, and my editor had marked it up, and I had made those corrections. So the only physical copy that I had was, like, the previous version all marked up. I could not bring myself to retype that sucker. So for about 5 years, it was gone. One day, I would change jobs 5 years later. I was going through just a random flash drive that I had, and lo and behold, there was the copy of the manuscript that I had used when I had printed the version that my editor marked up. But that book was gone for 5 years.
For 5 years, and then you came across, not the exact thing, but enough to be in the wheelhouse you back on track?
I found the exact version of the manuscript because I'm kind of OCD, and at the bottom of my manuscript was the date I had printed it. And sure enough, that was the date.
Bob, I'm so happy you got it back.
I am too. And what's funny is the book actually is about somebody who has everything and loses it and then regains it.
You need to change the foreword. That's awesome, Bob. And we do have a little bit more information just to wrap this up. And if you know what happened to this sweatshirt, by the way, just get in a hold of my friends at Free State Brewing Company right there at 6th and Mass. When she originally wrote the post in March, she wrote, "I know that this is a huge shot in the dark, but I am at a loss. I am looking for this crew neck sweatshirt pictured below. It was my dad's from college who recently passed away. I am desperately looking for it to be returned to me." Then she goes on to say, Sam, she found out from the folks at Free State Brewing that there was a guy there with his group of friends who found the sweatshirt and put it on. It was not turned into Free State, she says, so I'm assuming he took it home with him. "I was at Free State on March 2nd. I sat at the back room, and so did this group. It would have been around 3 o'clock that day."
There it is.
And she says, look, if you were there, if you have any information, like, she's not looking, she's not complaining, she's not saying, no questions asked, she just wants it back. Again, the reward is $1,000, and I do now think, this was not an unhoused person, this was a big group having some beers at Free State in the back room. And
you should put it on,
put
man.
Put it on, yeah. But
and then they went to another bar and took it off.
And then they went to another bar, yeah. And you know what? That could have been donated in a donation bin. It could have been, the one thing we know about Lawrence is people tend to move in, move out, move in, move out.
That is a great point. There's a solid chance that this is sitting at a thrift store.
I agree.
In Lawrence.
I agree. Let's hope she can find it. I really, really do.
Best of luck.
Fantastic, just a gift at the end of a very tough time in that young woman's life, if we can get that returned to her. 913-586-7798. We are 30 minutes away from Festivus Friday, brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today, Q39KC.com.
And go to KMBZ.com now. The Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament is back this year, coming up on October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be at Serve this time from 91st and Metcalf. We are allowing 100 teams. Spots are filling up fast. It's $50 for a team of two. Spectator passes are $10. You can buy those online or at the door, but you do have to sign up for a team online before the event. The clock is ticking. Like I said, it's $50 for a team. All proceeds go to KC Pet Project. It is official bracket-style tournament run by the Midwest Cornhole League. KMBZ.com to sign up.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple of business-related stories to pass on to you before we get to Festivus Friday here coming up at the top of the hour. it's no surprise, but I think a lot of you, especially if you are in any business that has, I don't know, information of a sensitive nature, this is something that companies need to start really thinking about, because AI is spying on you, spying on workplace gossip, spying on secrets, and in some cases, sharing them afterward. Innovative office tech that utilizes artificial intelligence is listening in on your conversations and runs the risk of leaking company secrets or workplace gossip, turning the tool into a dangerous nuisance. A researcher and engineer recently took to Twitter to explain how Otter, an AI platform that he used to transcribe a Zoom meeting, accidentally spilled a confidential conversation. After the meeting, he received an email of the call's transcript. I don't know what Otter AI is, but I'm guessing that's something you use to help transcribe the meeting, so you don't have to have a, you know, you don't have to have a person doing it for you.
Yeah, it's also huge if you work in our industry and you are doing a interview for like a written piece.
Okay.
It will transcribe everything that was said.
Sure. Everything that was said.
Absolutely everything.
So he received an email after the meeting and the call's transcript was in it and realized that the technology had continued to record the conversation even after he had logged off. The transcript, he said, included, quote, hours of their investors from the venture capital firm private conversations where they discussed intimate, confidential details about their business.
That's illegal.
Well, is it, Sam? He lost the account, by the way.
Yeah, that would be why he lost the account, is because...
I want to know from our lawyers, if you are using AI to transcribe interviews...
It's not illegal that Otter AI recorded
it's
that he recorded it.
Why? But if it was an accident, is it still illegal? I'm curious, and you can text us at 913-586-7798. If you're a lawyer and that's all privileged, confidential conversation between you and a client, are you messing with AI to help transcribe some of this stuff? I wouldn't be.
Now, keep in mind that as we move further and further into this technology, and there are different software and hardware companies bragging about their inclusion of AI into their products. We saw one recently from Dell, I think it was. I don't want to be quoted on that, but there was one recently where they said that all you have to do is tell the computer purple dress, right? Maybe you don't remember what you were looking at 4 minutes ago, but if you put in the search bar purple dress, it will pull up whatever you were looking at that had a purple dress in it. That's because, fun fact, AI is tracking every single movement that you make and logging that into a database.
Listen to this from one like privacy guru person. I think it's a big issue because the technology is proliferating so fast, people have not really internalized how invasive this is. He warns that AI is increasing the risk of leaked company secrets and says, wait for the lawsuits. It's coming. Now, Otter, whatever, the AI, whatever you call it.
Transcribing software.
Transcribing thing of things.
Yeah.
Said, look, users do have full control over conversation sharing permissions. You can change, update, or stop the sharing permissions of a conversation at any time, but it's on you to know how to do that. It's on you to understand what it's recording when you tell it to record.
It's on you to make sure that it's not recording. It's on you to make sure. I think, honestly, the safest bet would be to go ahead and just completely log out of your account on Otter when you switch to something that is confidential, because if you're still logged in, there's no guarantee that it's not listening.
Speaking of invasive...
I'll take my tinfoil hat off and put it to the side.
I've never been a huge fan of the AirDrop. I don't like the AirDrop. Like when I'm on it, like if I'm in on public transportation or if you're on an airplane, have you ever noticed like
you can do it to random people?
You can AirDrop to random people.
Yeah. There was an entire trend of that a couple of years ago where people were AirDropping inappropriate photos to people on planes.
All right. So here we go from the Kansas City Star. A Wisconsin pastor has been arrested after police say he sent himself intimate photos of a church member's wife while borrowing the man's phone during a church meeting. Great. He's 41 years old. Gabriel Mills, I'm guessing he's been fired, was a pastor at Journey Church in Kenosha. according to the police department. Here's how this happened. The couple gave Gabriel Mills, the pastor, the cell phone because the husband wanted to download an audiobook. So the pastor said, here, give me your phone. I'll show you how to do it. So he had permission to physically have the phone. But police say while the pastor had the cell phone, not only did he download the audiobook, which was what he was supposed to be doing, he started digging for private things in the phone.
And he found what he was looking for.
Found intimate images of the man's wife and used AirDrop to drop them to his phone.
Oh, yeah. Let's leave a digital record.
Here's what's interesting. Explain to me how this works. At some point after the meeting,
sure,
the couple discovered the AirDrop app had been accessed several times while the pastor had their phone. They called police. Thank God. Investigators then obtained a warrant. They took the pastor's phone and, sure enough, found explicit photos of the church member's wife. If someone AirDrops you and you don't know it, this is why I never give anyone my cell phone. Don't even let them take it for a second. Not that I have weird photos on my phone. I don't. But if you give someone your phone and they AirDrop themselves from your phone,
right,
when you get your phone back, does it automatically tell you, hey, you've been AirDropped?
You can see recent activity under AirDrop. Now, I don't have an iPhone, so I have no confirmation of that. But
I'm
assuming
that's
how
they did it. The last time I went into AirDrop, and I'm scared to do it on the air because I'm scared if someone's accessed my phone, I will freak out. I don't ever go into AirDrop. It's just not something I do. The only time anything has ever been AirDropped to me, I don't even know how to pull it up, Sam. It's not an app.
Now, I'm sure this pastor, because he was already dumb enough to leave a digital footprint.
He's been fired.
The fact that he was stealing these images. I'm sure he was also dumb enough to not close the app. You know how you can like open your recent apps?
Yeah.
I'm sure that they opened their recent app folder and it was right there, still open, still functioning. And they clicked on it and immediately saw, oh, there's been recent activity.
The news has come as a great shock to our church and our school community. Blah, 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 blah. They fired him upon learning of the allegations that led to his arrest. Mills is facing two counts of capturing an intimate representation without consent. I love that we have that law. We need it. Mills is facing two counts of capturing an intimate representation without consent. That is a felony, and it's about time. This is just 40 miles south of Milwaukee. Yeah, and police say the couple might not be his first victims. They're asking anyone. Basically, if you handed your phone to the pastor thinking, hey, help me like download an audiobook. Okay. I don't know how this works. Kelly and Olathe, hi, go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to say I use AirDrop, but I know to go into settings and you can make it either so it's completely off or you can make it so it's only people you who are in your contact that you can AirDrop with. So I use it all the time with my family because it's the easiest way to transfer photos and those sorts of things, much faster than texting or emailing or any other way. It's almost instant. Or if I want to put them on my iPad versus my iPhone.
Sure.
It's just the fastest way to transfer any information that you want
to. I'm so dumb. I don't even know how to get to AirDrop. I think it's one of those things you got to swipe your fingers up or down.
Yeah, it's similar to when you, like, email or text, you know, that little square box with the arrow?
Yep.
Coming out of it, you hit that, and AirDrop is one of your options.
I see it. Okay, thank you. We've learned something today. People, go into AirDrop and change your settings. She's right. If you go to photos, click on a photo, and then click on that little box, AirDrop pops right up. Sam, I'm not AirDropping you. And you know what it says? There is a device. It doesn't say what it is. It's just a number and the letter A. And it says, do you want to send this phone? I don't even know who that person is. No.
That would be somebody probably on this. Are you connected to the Wi-Fi?
Yes.
That's somebody on the Wi-Fi here in the building.
But I don't even know who that is.
Also, you can't AirDrop me. Android.
All right. We just heard back from Ashlyn. I'm so excited.
Did she find it?
She did not.
Oh.
But we just heard back from her. Do we want to talk to her at the end of this hour, or do we want to push it to Monday when Scott's back, and then we can talk about it again? I kind of want to push it to Monday.
Let's do it.
Give everybody like some time to like hear this on the podcast.
This is called show production live on the air, ladies and gentlemen.
Circulate it around Lawrence. I just told her, sweetheart, we're going to try everything we can to get the word out about your late dad's sweatshirt. And she's emailing me and I will get that set up for Monday.
I love it.
So we can do it. I just have a feeling, you know, the Dana and Parks family's done some amazing things over
the years. I hope that she's checked the
Oh, I'm sure. Because there's a couple of big ones down there.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. We will be back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Festivus Friday, 15 minutes away. We will clear the lines in a bit. Not now. We got a little bit more show coming up before the airing of the grievances, but we will air them promptly at 5 o'clock. Stick with us. You blow my mind. Couple of boomer stories to pass on to you.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer. You know what it is if you use it. If you're a kid, you know what it is when you receive it from your mom and dad. The ellipses.
Oh, my God.
The ellipses. The misuse
of the ellipses.
I use ellipses when I am typing all the time. I did not realize when I text someone and ellipsify something.
That I assume that you're frustrated with me.
Why do it invokes anxious feelings against younger people?
I don't know where it came from, and I don't know why I feel the way I feel about it.
The dot,
however,
dot, dot.
I do know that the use of the ellipses is a, I'm mad at you, what the heck are you thinking?
Dot, dot, dot?
Yep.
When did that start?
And if it's four or five or six dots, you better just go ahead.
Sam, dot, dot, dot for people my age just means a pause in thinking. It doesn't have any emotion attached to it whatsoever.
Why not use a comma?
I don't like
or
commas.
A semicolon.
Even worse. Does anyone really ever know how to use a semicolon? I'm sorry, unless you're an English teacher, the answer is no. From the New York Post, this generational texting habit might be worse than using all caps. When typing a large paragraph, older adults might use what has been dubbed boomer ellipses.
Do you feel offended by the use of the term older adults?
Multiple dots in a row, also called suspension points, to separate ideas unintentionally, making messages more ominous or anxiety-inducing.
Now,
and generating the hell out of Gen Z.
I will say the context matters. So if you're saying like, yeah, I took out the trash, dot, 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 did the dishes, dot, 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 and something else, which, again, why wouldn't you just use a comma? But in that context, that doesn't clearly state I'm aggravated with you. Now, if you say, okay, dot, 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 and that's the whole text message.
What does that mean?
You're very upset for whatever reason.
Okay.
It's also the misuse of emojis that boomers do.
Quoting here from, I just use the same one over and over again, but quoting here from one Redditor, what exactly is going on with boomers and ellipses saying their mom's texting, quote, drives them up a wall? It comes off as passive aggressive at worst, insane at best. The user gave an example explaining that their boomer neighbor writes things like, thanks, dot, dot, dot. They write, what the blank else needs to be said or imply? Why not just thanks, exclamation point, or thanks, smiley face? I don't understand this at all.
It also paints a picture of why texting should not be the main mode of communication in the first place.
That's why I audio message people.
Because you can't show emotion in a text message.
I will
say
this.
You can pause for multiple seconds.
Have you ever gotten in a fight with a significant other? Or not a fight, but kind of like one of you is annoyed because of the misunderstood intonation of a text?
Hundreds of times. Yeah.
Like when you read it and then you reread it and you're like, wait a minute, are they mad? Is that like...
You can read the same text six different ways with different emotion in your mind, and they meant one of those six.
Do you remember that example we had, Sam? We had this example, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, I found it online, and you are exactly right. It was a very simple sentence, like subject, verb, direct object, and they read it six different ways depending on how the receiver of the text understood it. And it was crazy. I don't even know. It was the dumbest sentence. It was like, thanks, see you later. I mean, whatever it was.
Whatever, I don't care anymore. Whatever, I don't care anymore.
Oh, see.
Whatever.
No, whatever, I don't care anymore automatically seems aggressive to me. Whatever, I don't care anymore. I would not read that positive in any way. I don't like it.
For more examples.
I don't like it. And then this. We're going to beat up on the young people here for a minute because you're making fun of the boomers, which I am not, by the way.
Fine, dot, dot, dot.
Oh, fine. Ooh. No, fine to me is also passive aggressive. Fine.
okay or just
I hate okay. Okay. K. If you just write K, I think you hate me. K.
And can we get rid of the let's talk about it later?
Who says that?
Only use that if there's something wrong. If you don't want to talk about it, just don't respond to the text message. But when you say let's talk about it later, that automatically implies that you want to have a deeper conversation about it and that something is wrong.
I will tell you this, because of the nature of what we do for a living, I have had to take a step back and not reply to every text that comes into my phone.
Oh, I've...
It's a fire hose in the face.
You know, it's funny because I can't have unread emails, right? Because it just irks me.
Yeah.
I currently have 145 unread text messages.
How do you know when I come in and it's not important? Which it's usually not. But like, I text you sometimes before the show.
Well, so like
I can, about the Menendez thing.
I can see what the text says before opening it.
Yeah.
And so I read a little snapshot and if it's important or not.
Do I have my own ding-a-ling? You?
I mean, my phone's always on vibrate.
Oh, all right. The important people in my life have their own ding. Okay, let's beat up on the young people. Not using these job interview tips can reduce your chances of getting a job. You want to guess what they are? It's two, and your jaw will drop. A 20-year-old recently found out she got a job as a paralegal, and what made her stand out was her ability to, number one, maintain eye contact.
Huge.
And number two, carry on a conversation.
I am wicked good at maintaining eye contact, and I still struggle with it.
Why?
Because so much of our communication in the modern era is not intimate. And eye contact, while conversing with someone, is the most intimate you can be without being literally intimate. Without being literally intimate. You know what I mean. Without being literally intimate. In terms of intimacy of a not intimate conversation.
Yeah, it's so odd you didn't get the job. And police are at your door.
Hello.
Awkward. All right, it's time for the airing of the grievances. If you have a job interview coming up, please maintain eye contact. It's super creepy if you
don't. And if it weirds you out, look at the space between their eyebrows. They will never know that you're not
looking at
your eyes.
Friday is here. I literally have 1 hour left in me before I'm starting to just... My voice is tired. My body... I'm exhausted, Sam. I'm exhausted. Festivus Friday is coming up. We are going to air the grievances. We're clearing the lines now. 913-586-7798. Make them good. Entertain me. I'm grumpy.
It's brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com.
Back with much more straight ahead. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.